6. If it was really bad, there'd have been an alert. Martha. It wasn't difficult to make a small and unobtrusive Happy Meal code package, and given that each of them had high-level access to systems at Fantail or Medlar or Anvil, it wasn't hard to disseminate it. Sella and Albert created a package with an insertion mechanism. They each left the hotel with a flash drive. Badger had bought the drives at a convenience store with cash. The drives were shaped like miniature hamburgers because Badger was always going to be exactly who they were. They said goodbye in the hotel room like old friends, people who'd been on a long journey together, and Martha, hugging each of them in turn, smelling Albert's musky 3-day shirt, Sella's fresh spritz of bright scent, Badger's bubblegum and fried food odor, thought, I'm never going to know how to live without a community of purpose. I'm going to keep looking for this for the rest of my life, whatever happens. They went back to their worlds. Lenk asked how Martha's vacation had been in a tone that let her know that he was fairly, genuinely, somewhat aggrieved that she'd even need a vacation from all this. And of course he was right. She hadn't taken a break. That was what she and Lenk had in common. Anytime you didn't look exactly where you were going, a Frito-Lay truck might come out of nowhere and sideswipe you. Only now, she thought, I am the truck. She was in Lenk's blind spot. It wasn't personal. It took a couple of weeks for the timing to be right, until Badger was with their mom in Antigua and Sella was in Tokyo with Zimri, until enough distracting things were going on that the moment was right. It all had to happen at roughly the same time. Badger borrowed their mom's laptop. Martha logged on using Lenk's passwords. Sella waited until Zimri had walked out of the room without locking his Anvil surface. Across 3 time zones, the flash drives made contact. Inside the systems, a password-approved worm worked its way to the appropriate place and unpacked itself. Carefully, word by word, it began to change certain sentences and certain comments. It iterated. To try to do this at scale would be noticeable. Still, it must be worth a try. They had to try something. There had been, however, no chance to balance this worm with other system requirements. No time to monitor its performance or to see how it interacted with other functionality, to find out what resources it would take and how much of them it would use. The worm began to draw a great deal of system time. An iterative process rippled through the mobile towers, an algorithm testing and retesting a way to produce more smiling faces, more thumbs up. In Shanghai, 500 dancing drones shone lights of blue and silver and gold, spelling out words of peace and harmony for a celebration. Connected to an Anvil-powered mainframe via mobile signal on Medlar devices, they moved in unison, shimmering. Until they didn't. The signal was overwhelmed, just for a moment. Above the crowd, children sitting on their father's shoulders looked up, puzzled, as the drones stuttered, swiveled, stopped spelling out anything at all, began to plummet. The ballet fell to earth, heavy and hard, smashing into car hoods, shattering on pavements. The people ran. The same weekend in San Francisco at Fantail headquarters, there was a server overload causing a cascade of system failures. It was a system that had never been expected to overload. When it failed, a software engineer sitting in his spare bedroom next to a drying rack loaded with his baby daughter's damp onesies panicked. He attempted to manually reconfigure the network traffic to send the overflow to a different data center. The baby was crying. His wife shouted that she was on the john and on a video call at the same time, for Christ's sake, could he not just get the baby? He typed in an instruction that was almost, but not entirely, perfect. Rather suddenly, in all the countries in the world, Fantail and its subsidiary apps and products all stopped working. In Peshawar, Pakistan, a polio vaccination team could not use Fantail anonymized services to coordinate their pickup of the vaccine. 38,000 doses of vaccine went to waste. Among the people those doses were intended for, 5 children subsequently contracted polio. In Manitoba, Canada, systems of weather alerts housed on Medlar servers crashed. Even though Medlar servers came back up within 4 minutes, this alert system did not reboot. Road clearance measures were not dispatched in the face of an oncoming blizzard, and warnings were not displayed on cell phones and thin screens. Most people turned around when they saw the heavy snow. One group of 8 people, desperate to reach a long-planned family reunion and reassuring one another that if it was really bad, there'd have been an alert, froze to death in their minivan. In Norfolk, England, the antiquated Anvil messaging app used by the home caregiving teams went offline. Officially, it wasn't supported by Anvil any longer, and it was low on the priority list for review after the outage. An elderly woman, unable to contact her usual nurse and unwilling to stain any other furniture, sat in her feces for almost 2 days, waiting for help. During the subsequent inquiries internally at Fantel, Metlar, and Anvil, it was determined that an unobtrusive code package had somehow been introduced into the systems. A worm, possibly created by a state actor, causing an iterative process whose purpose was, at this point, difficult to determine. Martha went to sit in Albert's study, the same room where she'd saved his life. "It's not all our fault," said Albert. "A lot of these systems should have been more robust, should have had more failover." "But we knew they didn't," said Martha. She had been here before. "This is where it ends. I've seen it. You think you can change something big about the world, and it ends with destruction. Every single time." Anvil is already selling secure, walled-off backup in case anything like this happens again. 17 governments are already creating laws specifically protecting these named companies from this kind of attack with insane punishments. They're just going to be stronger after this. Martha said, "What do you call it when you can't do anything, but you can't do nothing?" Albert said, "I've tried despair already." Badger and Albert, Martha and Sella, took another several weeks to communicate as a group using the private messaging system on a forum for roasting celebrity fashion choices. "We can't do this again," said Badger. The iterative effects, rippling outward, were still incalculable. It wasn't possible to just destroy these companies. They were everywhere. To live even for a day without their services was a disaster. "We can't do it like this," said Martha. "Not ever like this. Whatever we do, we have to make it as small as it can possibly be. Invisible." "We need higher level access than this," said Sella. "It can't sit in the code base randomly drawing more and more server capacity. It has to be part of the system." "It wasn't the answer anyway," said Martha. "I mean, like, maybe it's part of the answer, but being willing to click on an e-petition isn't enough. We need something faster than that. These have been the years when we could have been solving it, and we haven't. We're close to them. We can figure it out. We need to try something different."